Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Before we do that, I want to watch this video, and I want you to watch this video and think, man, how many types of this prayer do I fall into? Am I that type of person? So why don't you check this video out.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything.
Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with it. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God.
O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee, how now? Brown cow, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream.
God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and salt and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
Aren't any of you that type of prayer? I know some of us can identify and be like, yeah, I'm one of those. And so and someone's like, I'm all of them. Well, you got a lot going on. But as we talk about prayer, I want to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, the history of that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And we're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount and what God was saying and through what Jesus was teaching. But before we go there, I wanted to do a little history on Jesus. And if we look in the Bible throughout Matthew, what it talks about is before he really speaks here, there's two instances in the Bible before this that Jesus talks in public. And one is at his baptism. He says in Matthew 3:15, let it be now it is proper for us to do this and fulfill all righteousness. And the next thing he says in public is in Matthew 4:17, he talks about continuing on the work of John the Baptist. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And for him to say that, he's taking on the same thing that John the Baptist was saying and got John the Baptist killed. And we've been talking about the kingdom in my small group, and to think about when a group would say, when Jesus would say to the Jews and Gentiles, repent, this was a mind-blowing idea to them because the Jewish people have been under the Mosaic law. They've been giving their sacrifices. They've been repenting. They've been doing those things. And then Gentiles, they've never heard of this repent before, so they're like, well, what does this mean? I'm supposed to change my lifestyle. So there's two very drastic takes on this one phrase that Jesus is saying. And it's causing a ruckus, and it costs John the Baptist his life, among other things. But when we look at that, those are the only two things that Jesus has said in public at this point. And then right after that, he recruits his disciples. So he said two public things, he got baptized, and he's got 12 friends. Then he goes on, and then he heals a couple people, but then this is the first time, the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew 5, this is the first time Jesus has spoken to a large crowd in public. So people know there's something different about him. And as he speaks through all these things, he covers so much. And one of the commentaries I read on this says that Jesus made a strong case not only for teaching the works of Moses, but also that he would finally bring finality to the law. So as Jews are hearing him speak this, as Gentiles are hearing him speak this, he is teaching the Mosaic law again, and but taking it to so many other different levels that they've never heard before. They're like, wow, there is something different about you. And when I look at that, I think, man, when he talks on prayer, he says stuff that is amazing to me. And so in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read this together. There's 10 verses, and then we're going to talk about it. It starts in verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in the secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins." I looked at that and I thought this, there are three types of prayer that comes out of this section. And they're talking about three types. And the first one, I'm going to kick it off, selfish prayer. We're all victim to it. We're all selfish in our prayer from time to time. If you read back in the scripture, it says, "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray and stand in the synagogues and street corners and be seen by men." I have this book I've been reading for school. It's called The Bible Among the Myths, and it talks about how the Bible has withstood time according to all mythological things and all the things of the past. And I had this quote. I was reading this last night, and it kind of rocked me a little bit. And they're talking about magic. And it says this, "Magic may be defined as the use of the means believed to have supernatural powers over natural forces. To accomplish something in the nature or divine realm is a matter of doing a similar thing in the human realm. Getting what you want is a matter of learning the right technique. If you perform the technique in the right way, then the desired result must follow." How many times have we tried to pray magic over true prayers? That we pray either the Lord's Prayer, or we start to pray and you say, you know what, if I use these key words, if I use these key things, if I say it right, if I pray hard enough, if I pray hard enough, if I'm on my knees, if I'm in this room, if I'm in this place, if I do it right, then I will get the results I want. How many of us are guilty of that? I read that and I had to stop, and I'm reading about something totally different. I said, man, I am a selfish prayer 90% of the time. Because I come to God and I say, God, I want to do what you're asking me to do. And you can even think back to Catholicism or other things, and they said, just pray the Lord's Prayer and you say it. And we remember it as kids, we memorize it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. We don't pray it, we say it. And we start to fall into the idea of we want the magic of the prayer, not the conviction of what the true prayer of God is. And we get caught in this and we say, you know what, if I pray it right, I'll get what I want. And we lose it and we become selfish and it's no longer about God. I like to call it this, holy whining. Because you're praying to God, right? You're telling God, oh God, I love you so much, but... It's like, you know, when your kids whine or you hear someone whine, they start out making everything sound really good, and then all of a sudden it takes a turn, and you're eventually, as parents, you can go, okay, how much money do you want? Or what do you need? Or what do you want? We do that with God. We think we're totally going to trick God into, if I pray the right things, he's really not going to know what I'm saying, and then I'll just drop this bomb on him, and he's totally going to give me what I want. I have yet to ever seen that happen right. Usually God flips it on you and then takes it away, and you're like, well, that backfired. And it's not what you thought it was going to be. And so we whine and we whine and we say to God, you know what? I've stopped asking for your ways and I've started saying you belong to my ways. Because we start to say, God, you belong to me. When I pray to you, you belong to me. When I say things to you, you belong to me. You're mine. You're my God. That is a one-sided relationship that's doomed to fail if we do not embrace what God has for us. I put this point down. It says not talking about things for things, but wanting it your way. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, how often I want my prayers, but I want it my way. And I pray it out like this. Dear Lord, God, I need you to provide finances. So I need a money truck to slam into my house and drop $100,000 in my garage, and they're going to leave, and I'm going to come home, and that's exactly how I'm going to make it through this. Now, maybe that's a little extreme for some of you. I pray it every day. It hasn't happened yet, but one day it could. And when I do, I'm going to just point fingers at all of you and say, see? Right? That's our approach to prayer. I'm going to pray it as hard as I can, and when it finally happens and people thought I was just crazy, I can be like, see, Jesus loves crazy people. Our prayers sometimes get too selfish, and we need to repent from that, truthfully. It says, do not be like the pagans. Do not be like these people and stand on street corners. The next thing it says in Scripture is verses 6 through 8. And I kind of labeled this humble prayer. And I want to read these Scriptures. It's verses 6 through 8 again. And it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what you have done in secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because they have many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I know as Christians we use the term quiet time all the time, or in your prayers, or doing these things, but the part that stuck out to me was removing self from prayer. When you see this, he's not talking about, when he talks about it, he's not saying, lift this, lift that, tell me this, tell me that. He's saying, go to a secret place, go to a quiet place, and just be you and me. It's removing yourself. When we pray for ourselves way too much. And we don't humble ourselves at the foot of the cross and look up and say, man, that was one majestic piece of wood that saved my life, and I need to humble myself and pray to God. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting? I am guilty of this. It's funny that I'm going to say this, but I'm guilty of this. When you're at a prayer meeting or you're praying with people and you start to pray and you get an amen, you get excited, so you get a little louder, and you pray about that thing over and over again, and you get a couple more amens, and you pray a little bit louder, and then all of a sudden people are like, man, that guy's passionate about Zimbabwe, and we're not even praying for foreign countries. What's going on around here? And you get caught up, and you get louder, and you get louder, and you pray harder, and you're like, yeah, I'm getting the people in it, and all of a sudden you've stopped focusing on what you're praying for, and you're back to focusing on just saying, man, if I can just bring revival to this prayer meeting, if I pray louder, I'm going to get it. I'm going to save lives. I'm going to change it all. I'm guilty of that. I've been in prayer meetings where I will pray and I'll say something and someone will be like, amen. And in my mind, I totally switched and go, okay, that's what I got to pray for. I got an amen. That's where Jesus wants me to go. And I just take off on a tangent, and 20 minutes later, I'm praying for who knows what, and what person, and cartoon characters, and revival, and I'm like, where did I go? What happened? I didn't humble myself and say, you know what, as I pray, it's got to be to God, and to be in that quiet place, and to be in the place that we just give it to God and say, you know what, it's about you. I have a missionary friend. This is pretty funny, we were at dinner, and one of the kids was going to pray for dinner. And of course, you know, a kid, they're not going to pray a really long prayer. So he's like, dear Lord, bless food, amen. And the parent's like, no, you got to pray longer than that. And the missionary goes, no, you don't. You're not praying for everyone. It's just food. Let's eat. And I was like, hallelujah. But sometimes we add too much to our prayers. We try and pray too much. We try and add every little thing in. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't hear what I'm saying of don't pray for things. But when you pray, humble yourself and say, you know what? What am I praying for? Not just the sake of praying. You know, we humble ourselves. Sometimes we got to start in silence before we start with talking. We got to hear the voice of God first. A lot of times we don't hear the voice of God. A lot of times we just jump head first in and start praying. I saw this video once of a guy sitting in the coffee shop and he's having a conversation with Jesus. And it's like that kid, he had 755 prayer requests. And I don't know if number one was the mom thing. How many of you have that mom? Don't put your hand up if your mom's in here. If you put that up and your mom's sitting next to you, you're going to get slapped. But he has this list, and Jesus is about to open his mouth, and the guy bolts, says, thanks, Jesus, I'll see you later. A lot of times we got to sit in silence and say, you know what, God? You have a lot to say to me, and I need to shut my mouth, and I need to hear your voice. We speak a lot. We don't listen very much. If we saw the video on the listener, they labeled him the listener, but he had his whole list. I don't think he's doing much listening. He's doing more speaking. And we do that not just in our prayer lives, we do that in our spiritual lives. We talk and we talk and we talk. We talk about what we know, we talk about who it is, but when God calls us to do something for him, all of a sudden we're not doing it. And we kind of fall back and all of a sudden we're not the same person anymore. Our prayers should be a reflection of our attitude towards God. And a lot of times our attitude towards God does not reflect in our prayers. And our prayers are nowhere close to how much we truly love God, or we pray so hard, but then the way we live outside of that is nowhere close to what God has called us to be as Christians. I'm big on evangelism. I love when I get to meet new people. I love getting in conversations with people. I love challenging kids. I love telling, you know, we are on our cell phones. We're on technology all the time. I love telling kids, listen, right now, in the middle of service, we're going to call a friend. And their eyes get huge. I bet you if I did it in here, your eyes would get pretty huge too. I mean, you're going to call someone that you know that doesn't believe in God and ask if you can pray for them. It's uncomfortable. You don't want to do that. You don't want to call a stranger and tell them about God. You don't want to do any of that. You know what? Sometimes I think God is a stranger to us when it comes to our prayers. We are so scared to lift up our true voice that we don't even know who God is and how powerful he is and how mighty he is and all that he can do if we just lift our hearts to him. For some of us, God is a stranger more than he is a God or anything we worship. As that verses continue on, I love getting the Lord's Prayer. I love breaking down the Lord's Prayer. And that's what I call the servant prayer. Sometimes we got to get into the prayer of just serving him. And hearing what he has and hearing what he has to do as we read it over again. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How powerful is that? I think for a lot of us, when we pray that prayer, it's more routine than it's really the words that come from our heart. I mean, that's a tough prayer to pray. You think about that? I mean, our Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. How many of us really live for God's kingdom to come? You know, I was talking about, we love Tim Tebow, right? Come on, he's a... No, anybody Tebowed in here before? I've Tebowed. Okay, there's a couple believers. All right, Tebow. All right. Tebow is one of the biggest things people talk about. They love Tebow. They want to hear Tebow. They want to listen to Tebow. Tebow does this. Tebow does that. That's great. You know what the difference is between Tebow and a lot of us? Is he lives in the kingdom, not on the earth. He lives for God's kingdom. So when it says our kingdom come, God, he is in this place. And I was talking about this with a friend the other day, and Tebow gets a lot of credit. Sometimes I think Tebow is like, it's God and Tebow right underneath. And I think Tebow, what he does is in his mind, he said, you know what? There are so much greater things in this world. I'm blessed to do what I get to do, but I'm going to live in the kingdom realm. I'm not going to live in the worldly realm. And when we pray that, your kingdom come, are we really ready for that? I was talking with some friends, and we could honestly say, no, I'm not ready to live in the kingdom world. That's a lot of sacrifice. That's a lot of giving up of what I want. That's a lot of giving up of what I think I need. But to live in his kingdom, for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, to know that God's will is the greatest thing in all the earth, and he is saying to us, you are capable of doing that. You have all power and authority through my son, Jesus Christ, to bring my will to this world. Does that not encourage you to say, you know what, I have the power over all things of this world? Satan has no power and authority. It says it. Nothing, no principalities, no nothing in this world separates us from God. It says that in Romans. But we don't believe it. We don't live it. We don't press it. We don't do it. We don't follow through. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How cool would it be if heaven lived on earth right now? That we lived in the throne room of God every day and we sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To be in that kingdom throne, to sit in front of him, to see his majesty as it describes in Revelations what that throne room looks like, a sea of glass with all of these jewels and all of these things, I don't think any of us would not want to be in there once we saw the majesty of God. And then it goes on to keep saying, give us our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That caught me in the heart when I read it again and I was praying. I was praying this prayer all week and I thought, you know what? There's a lot of debts and debtors I haven't forgiven. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about hurts, talking about pains, talking about forgiveness I have to give to others that I haven't done in a long time. And I was convicted by that because I thought, you know what? God provides all that I need and he forgives me of all of my debts. All of my sins, all the things I've done, but I am a cruel, cruel man that holds much more debts against other people. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. I'm no different than anyone else, but there are people I gotta forgive. And my wife challenged me on that. I was talking with my wife. She said, you know what? We were kind of talking last week, and she said, there's some friendships I lost, and I lost them because of the way circumstances went down. She goes, you know what? I called a couple people this week. And I sent some Facebook messages to some people, and I was convicted because I was like, man, I don't have the guts to do that. My wife did it, and she set an example, and she's heard some from some, she hasn't heard from others, but you know what she said? She said, after reading that, she goes, I felt so much freedom. I felt so much freedom from the Lord because I didn't live under the bondage of Satan anymore. Those kind of spiritual debts, those kind of things are not from God. If you think that you feel pain, that you feel anything that is bringing you down and hurting you because you haven't forgiven someone, that pain, that's not from God. That's Satan saying, you know what? You failed, and I'm going to twist that as much as I can until it's painful. God brings conviction. He doesn't bring pain. God brings conviction. He doesn't bring shame. And sometimes we shame ourselves, and God says, lift yourself up in my holy name. It's because I carry you. You don't carry me. And we need to reflect on that and understand that when we are praying to God and when we're in our relationship with God and we feel like we failed God and our debts are out there and our sins are out there, understand you have not failed God because you do not hold God up in your right hand. He holds you and he carries you and he loves you. And he says, when I forgive you of your debts and you forgive your debtors, he won't lead us into temptation, but he will deliver us from the evil one. How many people know that we need to be delivered from the evil one every day? Every day we need to be delivered from the sins of our life. Every day we need to be saved from the things that we've done. A verse then goes on to say, for it is, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But you do not forgive men of their sins. Your Father will not forgive you. Those are strong words. Do we take that to heart? That it literally says in the Bible, this is out of the mouth of Jesus, but if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. Does that resonate with you? God will not forgive you. The God of grace, the God of love, the God of conviction, the God of all things. I mean, he has so many names. He will not forgive you of your sins if you've not forgiven others. That's powerful. That shook me. That scared me a little bit. I'm like, man, are there any sins I need to forgive some people of? Is there some forgiving I got to do? Because, man, the last thing I want to do is be on the side of God where he says, I don't forgive you. When I lift up my prayers to him, he says, that's great. I don't forgive you. Because you have sinned against other men, you have sinned against other people, and you have not forgiven them. And that speaks loudly to what God has for us. When it comes to prayer, when I was reading through all that he said on this, it made me think of this. The meaning of your prayers has to have thought and action behind them. When you pray, the meaning of your prayers, when you pray words, they have to have thought and they have to have action behind them. Don't pray to God and say, God, you're a holy God that I love, and then don't love him. Don't pray to God and say, God, I need your help, and then don't trust him. What we do is we pray and say, God, you're going to do all the work, and I'm going to reap the benefits. Listen, if you're not going to put action behind the words that you tell God, you're most likely not going to see results. We have to be proactive in our relationship with God. We have to step up to God and say, you know what? This is what I need to do. I need to be active in my faith and active in my prayers, not just stand here and say, you know what, this is just part of who I am and what I do. Our God did not go to the cross out of a luxury for us. Let me tell you, being crucified is not a luxury. Being on a cross is not a luxury. What he said was, I'm going to do this because of how much I love you. And then he said, if all you do is pray to me this way, and they say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we worship him, we say, you are the almighty, all-going, all-great, all things that I above want to give my life to, then he's going to walk with us every step. And I've asked the worship team back here, and I want to just go into a time of ministry just real quick. So will you guys just bow your heads real quick? I want to pray something. I want to pray the Lord's Prayer. I know this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've said it tonight, but you know what? It never gets old. So our Father, our King, our love, who art in heaven, hallowed, sacred, holy is your name. Your kingdom, your throne room, all that you are, come and will, and let your will be done. Let this earth be as it is in heaven. God, give us our daily bread. God, give us what we need. God, give us all the things that we need to survive. God, don't give us more than that. God, if you have blessings for us, let us receive those blessings, God. But let us be humbled enough to say, all I need is my daily bread. And a lot of times that's just your word and nothing more. God, forgive us of our debts. God, forgive us of all of our sins. God, forgive us of the things we've held against other people. God, forgive us for what we've done in this world that we have said, you know what? And God, let us also forgive our debtors. And Father, we know that you will not lead us into temptation. Father, I pray, God, for those in this room right now, Father, that are battling addictions, God, that are battling temptations, Father, that have had the sound of Satan's voice in their ear for so long saying, it's okay, you can do this. It's okay, I'm allowing you. Don't worry, it's not going to be, whatever is being spoken in their lives, God, I pray against that in all power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ and say, that is not right, that is not from God, and is not tolerated. God, grant freedom in this room right now. God, grant deliverance in this room right now, Father. We said that this is your throne room. Father, nothing reigns in here but you. So God, anything that is of Satan that's in this room, let it be cast out in this moment. Let it not have the ability to even show its face here. And God, deliver us from the evil one. God, the places we have let Satan speak into our lives, the places that we have justified to go against your will, God, the places that we have put ourselves that said, you know what? It's okay. God, don't let that be the case anymore, Father. God, if we're saying in our lives it's okay to sin, it's okay to fail, it's okay to do these things, God, just forgive us. That's not right. That's not what you asked of us to do. As we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want us to take this time to ask God for forgiveness. I want you to just say, you know what, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've held things against people. If you need to do that, I want you to just start doing that right now. God, I am unworthy of the love that you have given. God, I am unworthy of the place in your throne room that you have given to us. God, I am unworthy of your son on a cross. But you knelt down and brought me to the front of the line and said, you are worth more than anything else. I'm about to prove that to you, God. Don't let me ever, ever forget that. And God, that your grace extends beyond all that I know, beyond all that I can see. I'm just going to ask, there's the prayer team. If you guys come up here, the altar team would come up here. We're going to end in a song. I'm going to just ask you all to stand with me. And we're going to sing that song, Shadows, again. I love that song. Or not Shadows, Sometimes. I love that song because, you know what? I listened to that and I said, how often do I forget the immense size of God's grace and love? And I put myself to the side and say, he just doesn't have enough for me. Listen, if you need to pray with someone, you say, you know what, I need to forgive someone, then the altar team is down here, the prayer team's down here, I'm down here. If you just need some prayer for addictions and things that you're going through, please come down. Let God work through you. We're going to sing this last song and then you'll just be dismissed. But take action.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.